Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, yeah! Is that one song? That was the Starlin Castro walk-up music. Yes, 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 yes. Starlin Castro, that's Ando en la Versace by Omega. That's what Starlin Castro used, because somebody had questioned us on if Anthony Rizzo had taken Starlin Castro's theme song. And this is Rizzo. You know Rizzo's. Here's Rizzo's.
See, what it was, Grody, is I was thinking about the clapping, because there was the in-sync clapping of both songs, you know?
Right, but there was a faster clap to Starlin Castro. And shame on me, because I was there! And listen to it every day, and I couldn't pull it. But yeah, Rizzo, that song is called Intoxicated. And I went to a Cubs game early. It was one of the San Diego games, actually, that they obviously won at Wrigley Field because they swept. And I was just kind of like taking in some of the peripheral stuff. And I was like, yeah, there's no real, like, the songs are like cool, that the walk-up songs, I like some of them and I listen to some of them, like Chris Bryant. So Chris Bryant used to do Warm It Up, Chris. And I don't know if he's using it like on some days or for some at bats, but recently he's been going with some badassery, and that is Masked Wolf. All right, we're gonna find this one for you, but you know the song, Rolling the Deep End, which is like a pretty cool song, but like I'm just looking for guys to have stuff like what Castro used and what Rizzo used, and have some fun, like get the fans into it more. But you know, everybody, you know. Like me, I'd probably do that too. I'd be like, oh, let's play some Pearl Jam. That's probably what would occur with me too. But it'd be cool to get a few more character songs in there as well. We were talking a little bit earlier too about Scottie Pippen and this upcoming memoir that he has coming out called Unguarded. It is, by the way, for people wondering, this book is to be released in November of 2021. It sounds like it is reading like from the preview, and hopefully I'll get a sneak preview. Maybe, I don't know. It is reading like somewhat of a tell-all, and some of the stuff. And this is from what I was talking about with Rob Schaefer. Pippen announced the new memoir with a number of compelling hooks, titled Unguarded. The book, which was penned with award-winning sports journalist Michael Arkish. Is he of the Arkishes? I don't know. Coming out, November 16th, to be exact, 2021. And this is a quote here from Pippen. The Last Dance was really more about Michael Jordan than the Chicago Bulls. It was his story, Pippen said via Instagram. This book is mine. The project promises not only to offer pointed and transparent takes on Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, and Isaiah Thomas, It'll talk about his underprivileged upbringing in Hamburg, Arkansas, and unheralded pre-professional playing days. And he will further address the 1.8 seconds. So this is like a Pippen rebuttal. I wonder if the Horace Grant rebuttal will follow too, when Jordan just totally sold out Horace Grant in the Jordan Rules, the Sam Smith book from the 90s, where Jordan said, "Oh, that was Horace that told Sam all that stuff." And Horace's like, "What? What? Hold on a second. Hold on. That was not me." I do appreciate the potential rebuttals which will be coming. But I wanted to hear, since this is the 9 o'clock hour, I wanted to hear again Scottie Pippen talking to Teddy Greenstein about being fired as ambassador of the Chicago Bulls.
You're an ambassador for the Bulls, is that right?
I was.
Do you still want to associate with them or not?
I got fired this year.
Whoa! Do we know about that?
Yeah, I didn't really want to be out in the public, but I'm no longer employed by the Bulls.
Okay, okay. Well,
probably is a good thing, right?
Yeah, you're free, man. Absolutely. I honestly,
I like to associate myself with winning.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I got fired. I was channeling Beavis and Butthead when I heard that. Yeah, I was fired by those guys. And you could just see the big Scottie Pippen smile arriving there. And that's on the Teddy Greenstein podcast. I think I knew he wasn't an ambassador anymore, but I didn't realize that he had gotten fired. And the reason I laugh is because it's like Will Ferrell and the Alex Trebek celebrity. All you had to do was show up at the game and drink beer and cheer for the Bulls. So, I don't know, like he had to have really done something egregious, like anti-Bulls, to have lost that job, because ultimately that goes back to Jerry Reinsdorf, who seems like he's always loved Scottie Pippen and always has wanted, you know, brought him back as a player, brought him back as a coach, brought him back as an ambassador, and now he's been fun. Like, I am very curious as to what happened. So hopefully that will arrive in the book at some point in time. But that's definitely something.
I got fired this year.
Whoa!
I got fired this year. All right, let me get this thing back on the road a little bit.
Wait,
here.
Wait, do we want to do that, Grody? I'm pretty sure I have the Bryant song that you were looking for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this is what Chris Bryant comes up to the plate with these days. Go ahead and roll it.
What you know about rolling down in the deep? When your brain goes numb, you can call that mental freeze. When these people talk too much, put that slow motion.
I mean, I feel like an astronaut. Like I said, it's a badass song. It's a great song. Rolling in the deep end. And
not that song. Rolling in the deep end, right? Because when you mentioned that, I was like, Adele. It's not Adele.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first. Yeah, that should be the fact that you admitted that is wonderful right now, Mike Rank. Because I said, you know that popular song that's out, and the Roll in the Deep. You're like Adele. No, it's actually Masked Wolf, Astronaut,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, did you know that song or no?
The first time I heard it, right there, and then
okay,
not even when he walks up to the plate, I didn't even realize that was a song.
Yeah, that's play it again. Play it again.
Okay, give me a second.
Yeah, but no, he is walking up to this song, and I guess it makes sense, the lyrics, like, the deep end, and hit in the deep end of the park, and this is the new Chris Bryant, but, yeah, uh-huh.
What you know about rolling down in the deep, when your brain goes numb, you can call that mental freeze, when these people talk
yeah.
too much.
Yeah, that's a song that'll give you a few more minutes on your daily treadmill, too. I just like warming up, Chris, for him, you know? I want that song in my ears when I'm running, but I want warming up, Chris, when Chris Bryant is coming to the plate. Maybe that's just, like, symbolic of all that Chris Bryant is now. You've changed, Chris. Like, because, you know, he's not playing, man. This is, like, he is all business, you know, playing like an MVP. you know, getting ready for free agency. You know he's not going to sign any kind of a long-term deal or extension with the Cubs in season. That ain't happening. That is, I can't report this officially, but I'll say it confidently. That is off the table. And Chris Bryant is going to have many choices to make, or many teams from which to choose, I should say. Not multiple decisions. He's going to make one decision, and that's where he wants to play baseball for the next 7 to 10 years of his life. And I have said this before about Chris Bryant. He does as seemingly transparent as Chris Bryant has always been, because he's always been pretty accessible, and now he's even more honest. It's really hard to get a gauge on whether or not he truly wants to stay with the Cubs. He says the right things. He loves Chicago. He'd love to be here. That's not up to me. That's up to other. But really, he may not mean a word he says. He may have decided.
Do you still want to associate with them or not?
I got fired this year.
I got fired and stuff. Fiffin. But Chris Bryant, we don't know really what he's thinking. We know what he's saying. But, you know, in this world, business is business. And Scott Boras is Scott Boras. And Chris Bryant is his own damn man. And he is, I don't know if he, like, wants all the you know, to be a, continue to be a hero in Wrigleyville and with the Cubs and, you know, play the rest of his career in a Cubs uniform. We just don't know what he wants or what he is into in terms of we know Anthony Rizzo would like to stay with the Cubs. Like he like plays the part of the current Mr. Cub very well, in that he speaks the language and all of that, and you know that he would like to be a Cub for life. I don't know that about Chris Bryant. Like, there's just more indicators from things that Rizzo says that he'd love to be here forever. Chris Bryant may have said it, but it doesn't feel as genuine from the place that Chris Bryant is coming from. What are you thinking, Mr. Chris Bryant? We just don't know. We don't know where things stand in his brain. But I can't wait to find out. But in the meantime, we will continue to stay in the moment, and the Cubs are off tomorrow, home against St. Louis on Friday afternoon. And coming up next on this very here version of this Mark Grody Show, there will be a Les Grobstein coming up next, because 11 years ago today, Patrick Kane made one of the biggest goals in Blackhawks history to beat the Philadelphia Flyers. In Philadelphia, the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. Nobody knew it was in the net, but guess who was there? Les Grobstein. He will share his memories of that Blackhawks team and that Blackhawks goal from his time in Philadelphia. And then who knows what direction Grobber and I go. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm the lover of sauce. Con los guaros 24. Vestida de gente que se ponen ahí deseando. Yo vengo al barrio. I'm the lover of sauce. I was there.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Here's Campbell handing on to Kane again. Lots of head fakes there trying to shake Seaman. Threw one across the face. Oh, my, it rattled around, and it kicked on back, and it scores! We saw no light, we saw no signal, and we're not sure if they've set a signal of a goal yet, but they are celebrating at the other end of the ice. What chaos!
What happened? Unbelievable, man. Doc Emmerich on NBC. I'm Mark Grody. That was June 9th, 2010. The Patrick Kane phantom-like goal when the Blackhawks, they did, they won the game. They beat Philadelphia 4-2 in the 2010 Stanley Cup Final, giving the Blackhawks their first championship since 1961. It was the fourth overall. Yeah, there was another cup with the Blackhawks before that 2010 year. I know it's like 2010 is so dominant now in Blackhawks history that we all of a sudden start to forget about what happened before that. Too bad for all those ambassadors. Unlike Scottie Pippen, who's just living life, man. But that was a great, incredible, you know where you were when it occurred, and it was 11 years ago today when that Patrick Kane just unbelievable goal was scored, and only Kane knew that it went in the net. I got the grobber, Les Grobstein of Score Overnight, joining me right now. He was in Philadelphia. What do you remember, grobber, about that moment? And thanks for coming on, buddy.
Well, none of us knew it went in. We know Kane knew. He knew immediately it was in. And the first thing I thought was, well, they're going to have to review this. They're going to have to do a replay. Oh. And then when we did see the replay, that puck was clearly in the net. And we knew, the goalie knew. And then we found out, yeah, it was in there. And all the Hawks were celebrating, and none of the Flyers were really going to complain, and they were not demanding a replay because they also eventually knew it was over. But when it happened, we were not sure. There was no way any of us could see it. Now, here's the other thing about that night. The Hawks had gone ahead 3-2 in Chicago. Now came that sixth game in Philadelphia at the Wachovia Center. And about maybe 2 hours, maybe a little more than 2 hours before the drop of the puck, I was downstairs in the main concourse, and I was talking to a couple of Chicago fans, a couple of Blackhawk fans wearing Blackhawk sweaters. And there were, oh, I don't know, maybe about 500 to 800 Hawk fans that were there that got tickets for the game. And I'm talking to them. All of a sudden, a Flyer fan wearing an orange Flyer uniform comes up to the three of us and goes up to one Hawk fan wearing a Hawk sweater, took a dollar bill out of his pocket, hands it to him, and says, here, this is for Kane's cab fare. You know about that situation,
they,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Going back to when he allegedly, like, what, punched a cab driver?
Well, supposedly they got into it. And yeah. So the guy gave it to him. Of course, the Hawk fans, they kind of chuckled. And I pointed to him. I said, hey, that's cute. That's real cute. I said, just because of what you did, you're going to get eliminated tonight. The Blackhawks are going to win this game. And Patrick Kane, he's going to score the game-winning goal to eliminate
you guys.
Oh,
no, you didn't. No,
yes,
you
I
didn't
did.
Say that.
Yes, I
oh,
did.
Oh, my God. Wow. I don't. Are you make now, I believe you on the security. Did you really say Kane? Or come on.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's because that guy had talked about Kane. He said this is for his cab fare.
Who was the gentleman again? You say he was a security guy or a media relations? I'm just trying to figure
out
what
he did. No, it was a fan. It was a Flyer fan.
Oh, it was a fan.
The gates
had
already been opened.
Wow. That's amazing. So,
and when I said you're going to get eliminated tonight and Kane's going to score the game-winning goal, and he chuckled and he turned around, walked away. The Hawk fans kind of, they said, boy, we hope you're right. I said, they'll beat these guys here, and they're going to shut them up. And, you know, the last time the Hawks had even met the Philadelphia Flyers in the playoffs, Philadelphia was still a relatively expansion. It was 1971. The Flyers and the original six expansion teams, the Flyers, the Penguins, the Blues, the Minnesota North Stars, the Oakland Seals, and the L.A. Kings all came into the league in 1967-68. And I remember that vividly. And in 71, the Hawks played one of those expansion teams for the first time in the playoffs. And it happened to be Philadelphia, and they beat them 4-0. And it was game four when they eliminated him was in the Spectrum. And the Hawks had started to pull away. Bobby Hull had scored a couple of goals to turn it into a blowout. And the wonderful Philadelphia fans started just shelling the ice with eggs.
Jesus. Yeah, they are something there. There is no doubt about it.
Now, these are fans that, you know, the Spectrum, which is no longer there, now the Wells Fargo Center, it used to be called the Wachovia Center, that's located right in the same area. So are the baseball stadium and the football stadium, the Lincoln Financial Center and everything else. They're all right there.
I've been there.
And
yep.
What was pretty interesting was... in that spot, that was where they ended up getting that game-winning goal and ended up winning the cup.
All right, check me out here, Grobber, because we're people behind the curtain a little bit when it comes to being a reporter or one who is covering a game. One of the most stressful parts of covering a game is the post-game. And sometimes it can be tricky getting to where you need to go, whether it's at Wrigley where there's no elevator access and you're literally amongst the fans walking downstairs. And if you don't leave early, like, there's strategy involved with the post game, and you really got to get your stuff. Like, there is as fun of a job as it is and as exhilarating as it can be, post game reporter work can be very stressful. So let me ask you, what were the logistics like in that championship winning moment for the Blackhawks, their first cup since 1961? Were you already halfway down when that goal was scored to get onto
the
ice?
No, we stayed in the press box. Hey, definitely not, because that game could have gone for another hour or hour and a half or whatever. And so the goal was scored. The Hawk fans that were there were going crazy. The Flyer fans were stunned. And I was with Matt Spiegel and Dan McNeil, who was still with us at that time. And we got into, there was an elevator right there in the press box, and we took
you,
it downstairs.
You, Spiegs, and McNeil, okay.
And when we were in the press box, when we were starting down, McNeil turns to me and he says, "They just won the Stanley Cup." And, you know, again, the last time that they had won a cup was 1961. I was 9 years old, and I was watching when they beat the Detroit Red Wings at the Olympia on Channel 9. Lloyd Pettit was doing color that year. He became play-by-play announcer the next season. Johnny Gottsleeg was doing play-by-play, and they ended up winning it that way. That was 1971. That was the year they beat the Flyers 4-0. Then they had an epic 7-game series with the Rangers, who they won over by 7 games. And then they were favored to beat Montreal. They won the first 2 games at Chicago Stadium, had the lead in game 3, then got clobbered in game 4, but they blew the lead in both games. And then they came to Chicago and got a shutout, went out there for a game 6, and they lost by a late goal by Frank Mihalovic. And then we know what happened in game 7. They had a 2-0 lead. Bobby Hull then hit the crossbar. If that goes in, you know, because he had Ken Dryden beat on the play, and Dryden was not even a rookie then. He became a rookie. He won the Calder the next year. He won the cup before he even won the Calder. So what ends up happening? All of a sudden, there's a goal scored from center ice by Jacques Lemaire that fluttered past Tony Esposito, and it cut it to 2-1. Jesus. And then the absolutely hated Henri Richard, Maurice Richard's younger brother, Henri Richard, he scores a goal to tie it up, and he gets a goal early on in the third period as he came off the ice, took a pass, got by Keith Magnuson, and he beat Tony Esposito, and the 3-2 lead stood up. The Hawks came so close to tying it up. There was one shot by Stan Mikita to hit the crossbar, hit the post, caromed around, and Kent Dryden was both good, and he was also lucky. He was very lucky as well, but Hawks didn't win another cup after that until what happened 9 years ago.
Thanks for that little piece right there. That sidebar that you just gave us was deluxe.
When I was 19 years old, I was sitting in the organ loft with the late, great Al Melgard, who was their organist, and he always used to let me, rather than sit in the press box, I sat there. And I was allowed to, and I was, believe it or not, I was a young credentialed reporter as I was there. When that game ended and they ended up losing 3-2, I headed home. I can't tell you what I was yelling to myself in my own car because I was so furious. I got home on the north side of Chicago, went into the backyard. I grabbed a Royal typewriter. It was not an electric one. It was an old-fashioned one. And I held it over my head, and I slammed it into the ground in the backyard. And that thing has not typed a figure since then. I smashed it.
My God. Does it exist still?
It exists, but it doesn't work.
Ah, so you have it in the house, in the Grabber house still.
Yeah, I just had it. I took it, and I basically destroyed it because I was so furious.
Oh, yeah, I know you destroyed it, but you still have it. Is that right?
Yeah, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Hey, well, why do you have it still?
Just never got rid of it. Never thought to get rid of the darn thing.
Okay. That's interesting. No, I just, like, because you despised it so much, I just thought maybe you would want it out.
We all hated the Montreal Canadiens in those days, and, you know, ironically, They're the only team left from Canada. No team from Canada has won the Stanley Cup since 93, and that was Montreal, and they beat Wayne Gretzky and the LA Kings in the finals that year.
That pisses them right off in Canada, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh, yes. I've got friends who live up in Montreal. I have lots of friends who live up that way, and yeah, it ticks them off big time, even though there's a lot of Blackhawk fans up their way. I know a lot of fans in Montreal that I knew were rooting for the Hawks to beat the Philadelphia Flyers in that Stanley Cup final, which, of course, they did. And a friend of mine, Elliot Price, he was the English play-by-play announcer of the Montreal Expos the last few years. He still lives up there, and he hates the Canadiens. He's a native of Montreal, still lives there. He's a Blackhawk fan. And boy, did he hate Montreal beating the Hawks at the time when they did, and he loved it when they won the Cup 9 years ago. And, of course, then they won it again in 2013 over Boston and 2015 over Tampa Bay, and they haven't won a playoff series since that time, unless you want to count that play-in series last year when they beat Edmonton.
That was bogus, and it was fake, and it wasn't real. But I would, and this is why we should stay in the past with the Blackhawks for now, because I want to ask you one more question about the game-winning goal, and not the goal, but at the post-game of the Blackhawks winning the title in their 2009-2010 team. So Matt Spiegel always talks about how he stole the mash peg. He stole a mash peg from the afterwards, and I don't know, McNeil said I think he's grabbed a bag of pucks or something. What did you take from Philadelphia?
I didn't take anything like that. All I did was had my program, my the stack of stats, and it wasn't a stack, it was stapled together, and held on to all that. And of course, I still have my scorebook, which to this day, I still utilize, and it has them winning three cups in there.
Wow. And so you didn't even grab, like, some ice shavings or try to drag the net out of there or something?
The only time I did something like that was the last year the Blackhawks played in Chicago Stadium. And they got beat by the Toronto Maple Leafs in a playoff game 1-0, and we knew that was going to be the last time the stadium would be used for hockey. And I was on the ice afterward to walk around, because we had to go downstairs at the old Chicago Stadium. And a lot of people threw quarters on the ice. So I grabbed a bunch of those, and I just took those and kept them in a cup on the side here.
Would you believe, now you got me thinking, because like, I assumed you would have grabbed something in Philly or whatever championship.
No, we had to act. We were acting professional. I didn't think that it was something that I needed to do at that point.
No, and honestly, like, I'm thinking back now to covering the Cubs in 2016. I never did any of that. I never got anything from anywhere other than the stuff that I was given, you know? So it was like, it's weird now that I think back. I never, like...
Nor did I.
Yeah, I don't know. Point. Like, I think it's because, like, you're so into your... Like, you know that, again, behind the broadcast curtain, when we're covering games, especially big ones, your entire mentality is about the job and the work and being where you need to be, and being just like you're in a zone as a reporter when you're covering. Like, it's so different, I mean, for obvious reasons, that when you are sitting there as a fan in the stands from being a reporter, that sometimes I don't recognize it anymore from the fan standpoint. You know, like, I'm glad I went the other day, but I'm like, it's just so different. And I that's why I guess I didn't think to grab like some dirt in Cleveland or a few blades of or whatever I could have gotten my hands on. It's because we're so into the job, right, Grobber?
No question. You have too many things to worry about, too many things to do. And like I said, they could, you know, if it would have been done maybe about 4 or 5 years prior to that, but the newer management, many of which are still there, they wouldn't have been. They would have been pretty upset with you if you'd have got caught. They were basically do-gooders, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I need to read this list here real quick, and then we'll get into some other topics here. I'm Mark Grody with Les Grobstein for a little while longer. Check out this roster the Blackhawks had in 09 and 10. This is going to just crush Blackhawks fans because there's not a bad name: Taves, Kane, Sharp, Keith, Bolin, Bufflin, Hossa, Versteeg, Seabrook, Jalmerson, Troy Brower, Brent Sopel, Thomas Kopecky, well, we can scratch him off the list, Andrew Ladd, Brian Campbell, Ben freaking punch you in
Campbell
the face.
Campbell got the only assist on that Kane goal, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not. That's great trivia right there. The goal itself is so dominant that you don't think about the assist. I bet most people wouldn't get that, but you're grobber. Brian Bickle, Colin Fraser, Nick Boynton, Adam Burrish, and then some guy by the name of Jordan Hendry. So
they lost a lot of those guys right after they won that first of the three cups.
Well, it was
because
just
they
painful
were so, they
drip
were over
of
the
losing.
Salary cap, and they had
right.
to get. I mean, the first person they got rid of was Dustin Bufflin, and they sent him to the Atlanta Thrashers, who
That's
since
right.
moved up to Winnipeg and became the new Winnipeg Jets, and he has not played the last couple of years with them. But they have not really had a good, solid, sizable, talented player that could do things in the crease since Dustin Bufflin. But and then they got rid of others as well.
Well,
like
right.
Spieg,
I mean, it was just a pain.
They got Spieg's back after that, and others that they brought back
Spieg's?
As well. Not Chris. Chris no, not Chris Spieg. Chris Spiegel.
Chris Spiegel.
Who? Name some of the players that you just named.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get you where you need to go. Bolin, Bufflin, Hossa, Versteeg.
Versteeg was the
of?
Guy that they got rid of him,
okay.
and then they reacquired him a couple of years ago.
That's right. Yeah, they did that with a couple of guys. Patrick Sharp. Jalmerson hasn't come back. I'm trying to think. Remember John
Ironically,
Madden?
When they got Patrick Sharp originally, that was in a trade that they had made a couple of years earlier with Philadelphia.
Didn't Andrew Ladd come back for like a second?
Yeah,
or
he
no?
did. Yeah, he
okay.
did.
Okay, Andrew Ladd. Yeah, he
and
came
Johnny
back.
And Johnny Oduya came back also a second time.
Campbell, he was a comebacker, right?
Yep.
He was gone and came back. Yeah, he did. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's any other guys. So, you're right. That was Hossa, gone, Siebes.
And they got rid of Dale Talon, yet they gave him a ring, among other things. But he was let go because Stan Bowman... basically, his dad, Scotty Bowman, everybody felt that he was the guy in charge of really, and he was the real reason that they got rid of him. They claimed, no, he made too many mistakes, cost him a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. But everybody could see that whole thing reeked from Stan Bowman being there, that he just basically took care of his son. And Stan Bowman is still there, and Scotty Bowman had everything to do with it.
Were you talking about, I'm sorry, I was like, my brain was in two different places. Were you talking about Bowman having the power to fire Dennis Savard? Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah. That
okay.
was Scotty Bowman. That was Scotty
right.
Bowman.
Right. People thought that was what he advised Stan to do. Like, that was the advice, because he's in an advisory role, and why wouldn't
and
his son take his advice?
And they brought in Quinville, and a lot of us were thinking, what the hell is all this? And Quinville
right.
had never won anything in a playoff situation before. Well, he
I'll
won
be
a
damned
couple.
If, then I'll he be damned if he wasn't
this,
right.
Then he gets dismissed, and Jeremy Colleton named the coach. He's still there, and they haven't won a real legitimate playoff series since. But, of course, it's a very young team. Today, the Blackhawks have the youngest team in the NHL.
Hey, Les, can you hang on through the break, or you got to go get ready for your
no,
show?
No, go ahead.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Grody and Grobber back after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You're an ambassador for the Bolts, is that right?
I was.
Do you still want to associate with them or not?
I got fired this year.
Whoa! Do we know about that?
Yeah, I didn't really want to be out in the public, but I'm no longer employed by the Bulls.
I was fired.
Oh, yeah! Fire.
Mark Rohde with Les Grobstein for a few more minutes. Les is... Of course, the Score overnight host. He will have his show coming up in 2 hours.
We got in for that. You suck at 1 o'clock a.m. later
nice.
Tonight slash early in the morning.
That's beautiful, man. All right, that's for that. You suck. So if somebody did something horrible, that means that they suck, and then
that's
you say
not
that,
like
right?
Bum of the week. Bum of the week is an election, and it has to be one specific person by name. And for that, you suck is not an election. You could, if you want to name more than one person or name an organization or name a team or anything like that, you could do that then too. So it's a little
so looser. It's limitless. Yeah, anything can suck.
And for that, you suck is that way, and that's what we're doing later on tonight slash in a few hours.
What did you think about that Scottie Pippen getting fired as an ambassador last year?
Oh, you know, I mean, you got a different organization. You got new people running the show. It's not Garpax, whatever. I think most people, you know, John Paxson still is technically in the organization. But
yes.
He is, you know, Gar Forman was the first guy that they got rid of after Karnišović was named to run the team.
I got fired this year.
Whoa!
Can you believe that, though?
Yeah, but again, I think they just felt like maybe they thought he was in the way and they just needed to change the whole organization, which they did.
He had to have done something, like, really insulting to the organization to have gotten fight. Like, Scottie Pippen is one of Chicago's and the Bulls' favorite sons of all time, right?
Yeah, he's an icon in Bulls history.
But yes, again, you
had Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were on all six teams that won championships. And by the way, people can talk about LeBron or talk about anybody else they want. LeBron has lost several times in the twice with Miami. They lost in the NBA Finals. One time with Cleveland. In fact, a couple of times with Cleveland. The Bulls have never lost in the NBA Finals. They were there six times, and they won all six of them.
Oh, wow. By the way, I don't know. Maybe I misspoke, but one of us must have, because from the 773, it says, "Hey, Mark, can you or Les do math? The Hawks Stanley Cup was 2010. It's 2021 now. That's 11 years ago, not 9 years ago. If I said 9 years ago, I did mean 11 years ago, because it was 11 years ago today.
It clearly was 11 years, no doubt.
Right, right. So I guess one of us misspoke. And it wasn't me, so that leaves you.
It was me. I said it.
Okay. I appreciate you taking the hit there, Grobber. Thank you. And then somebody was questioning your memory. Oh, yeah, it says Grobber is a liar. If you believe that story about Kaner, you still believe in Santa Claus.
Well, there were a couple of Hawk fans there that were standing there, and they heard me say it to that Philadelphia fan. And which, if the guy doesn't believe it,
fine.
That's his problem, because
KMA.
It did happen. It did happen.
Yep. Amen. KMA is what I like
to say. I talked about
it
that night because I did my overnight show from Philadelphia at the Media Hotel. I did my show all that night, and I did mention that.
You got the receipts, baby. Speaking of receipts, what has been your take on the Cubs and what they should do ahead of the trade deadline on July 31st? Look towards the future or add on, Grobber? What
if they look
ahead
toward the future? That's the last thing they should be doing right now. They're in first place by a half a game. By the way, the Brewers did lose to the Reds 7-3, and they've been a hotter team than even the Cubs lately. But they finally got beat 7-3 in this contest. And I guess Cincinnati has Joey Votto back, and that kind of woke them up, because they've been one of the coldest teams in the league. And the Brewers ended up, losing for the first time in over a week. So the bottom line is, right now, people are saying, "Oh, they've got to make this trade, or they got to do this, they got to add this." Everybody keeps saying that every night on the show, over the night show. I get that all the time. Why? Why? They're red hot right now.
Yeah, but the question is, Les, can they win a World Series? Can they win a playoff series with the team that they have against the teams that they would go up against?
They
That's
can.
The
they
question.
Could also get knocked out in the first round. That it's that type of goofy situation. Yeah, they could get eliminated immediately. There's no guarantee that they're even going to make the playoffs. They have owned San Diego since they started playing them first time. They swept them at Wrigley Field three times, and they just got through taking two or three there. The Dodgers, they beat them up pretty good. But the Giants, who are the first-place team in the American League, or the National League West, I should say, the Cubs are very fortunate that they didn't get beat all four games of that series. They lost three of four. So they're going to play a lot. They still have a very, very difficult schedule coming up. Now, they have been a great home team. They've got a great home record. They have a mediocre road record, even though, yeah, they did okay coming out of this trip. But the bottom line is they're coming home to Wrigley Field. They're going to play a slumping Cardinal team over the weekend. And St. Louis right now, after they lost Flaherty, their best starting pitcher, they have kind of like hit the wall. They've been terrible. And that said, they're playing. The Cardinals are playing tonight against the Cleveland Indians, and they have a pretty big lead. So there's a very good chance that let me double check on that. The Cardinals playing interleague competition and playing the Cleveland Indians, and they are winning in the eighth inning, 8-2 over Cleveland.
Okay.
So that's good news for the White Sox, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. All right. So you got For That You Suck coming up tonight. What else? What will you be blasting off with tonight in the midnight hour?
Well, the Cubs are heading home. They might have landed already. I mean, they don't have to circle around when they get near O'Hare. The team planes, and I know for a fact, team charter flights, they get basically preferential treatment. And the air traffic control, they let them come right into the airport. So on their way to O'Hare, they will come right in, they will land, and their flights will be a lot shorter. So the Cubs may have already even landed, as far as we know. And then they have an off day, and then they play the Cardinals on Friday, and they're going to have their first complete sellout, 100%. And they're still selling a few tickets, and I guess we've been talking about that, and we'll talk about that a little bit overnight as well.
That sounds awesome, Grobber. Grobber, I cherish you. I thank you for coming on and doing this before you have your own show. Always fun, my friend. And hopefully I talk to you soon.
Yeah, well, someday we'll talk on the weekend. Occasionally we get a chance to do that. But have fun when you and Rosie have your show. And every time you do Rosie's show with him, you got to make sure you tell him he sucks. He requests it. He absolutely wants everybody to tell him he sucks.
That's right. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of
And you know that's true because you've been working with him quite a bit on and off.
Yes, a long time. You're right, on and off for a long time. Grobber.
The Wake and Bake Show.
That's right, the WB Show. The WB Show, indeed, my friend. Well, I hope that your overnight – the audiences, it seems like they've been getting back to prime Grobber listening audience again, huh? Just bringing them in, huh?
Well, we've had a pretty good situation like that for a while anyway. We've been kind of fortunate. So we'll try
You're
to keep
the best.
It going.
You're the best, Grobber. Talk to you soon, man.
Mark, talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. It's very hard to get off the phone with Les. I mean, even though we're on the radio, like, it's just because he says stuff that I find interesting, and then we go back and forth, and I got to know, and then there's sidebars, you know, whether it's the 1961 Blackhawks when we were talking about 2010 Blackhawks, that's a possibility. And then telling me how charter flights work, like we needed that little sidebar. I was on a charter flight for 3 years. But no, Grobber was explaining to the audience. So, and he's right. The charter flights are awesome. That's it. That's all I'll say. It's been a fun night tonight. Thank you to Les Grobstein for coming on. We do thank Bulls writer Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago for coming on with us here tonight. I definitely thank you guys for calling and texting and listening and being a big part of the show and our sports lives. And thank you to Mike Rankin for producing this show here tonight. Very busy day at the Score. Have a great day. I'll be on tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, with Bernstein and Rahimi. I'll also be back on in this time slot tomorrow night from 7 to 10 right here on 670 The Score. Talk to you later. Bye.
See you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.